Now, when you walked in today, you should have received a tape measure. If you did not get a tape measure, could you raise your hand? Oh boy. All right, just the adults. So if I could have someone, one of our ushers, awesome ushers, pass some of those tape measures out to anyone whose hand is in the air, that's an adult. And I could have one too real quick. But make sure you get your tape measure out. You know, I'll just meet you halfway, Miss Judy. Oh, can I have one? Thank you. All right. Get your tape measures out. Unfold them completely. All right. As they're passing them out, we're going to start with an activity. All right. So let's look at the centimeter side of your tape measure. And you're going to visualize this as your life. What I'd like you to do is find your age. Find your age on the centimeter side of the tape measure and rip it. Rip it. All my hard work putting these together and ripping them. No. rip the tape measure. Find your age and rip it. If it's through tape, I apologize. So what you're going to do is you're going to take this ripped piece of paper, which represents your past, throw it behind you. Because it's over. It's done. Finite. Now, if you're sitting in the back row, you have the best seat in the house because no one can see your age. All right, so I know some of us are sensitive about our age, so I'd ask that if a paper has been thrown at you, don't look at it, especially if it's a lady. We don't like disclosing our age. All right, so now the next step. I know this may sound a little morbid, but find the age where you think you may leave this world. I know. And once you find that age, rip it. Rip where you think you will no longer be in this world. All right, and drop that piece to the floor. Once you rip it, drop it to the floor. That is your eternity. The piece you have left may be long, it may be short, but this is your life. How can you, as a Christian, invest the time you have left? What can you do to represent Christ wholeheartedly to the world, and specifically to our kids here at Stony? They're more than the future of the church. They are the church. They're here with us today as I speak. We need you, parents. We need you, single adults, college and career. We need you, teens, to say yes and invest in the time you have left with our kids. So today I'm going to give you four strategies to help you learn how to invest in the young lives here at church. We're going to briefly look at the life of Abraham and how he used the same four strategies to invest in the future of God's people. So number one, let's get comfortable with being uncomfortable. In Genesis 12, we read that the Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. So here's God telling Abraham, leave everything. Leave your house, your family, your country, your people, everything you're comfortable with. I want you to just get up and leave because I have a great promise for you. Now, I cannot imagine personally myself being asked to drop everything I have, leave everyone I know, and just go without any contact with them, you know? I mean, I went to college out of state. But at least I could still call my mom every day or email her. Or I would send pictures of the places I visit and go. I would even talk to Anthony, my husband, via instant messenger. That makes me feel really old. Instant messenger. I mean, I didn't have to drop and leave everything or cut off all ties with family. Now, what we see here through is God is asking Abraham to get uncomfortable. Now, I'm not saying to invest in the kids here at Stony, you have to give up your house or your family. But God wants us to get a little uncomfortable in order to be stretched for his work. He wants us to be dream chasers. Dream chasers cannot fear failure. If we did, life would be boring and goals would never be achieved. Now, being uncomfortable can be different for everyone. Thinking about kids, maybe it's, I don't have kids, or I've never worked with kids, so I would have no idea what to do. I'm not a teacher. Toddlers, they're terrors. Boogers, no thanks, don't want to deal with that. But that's okay, because God says, let's get uncomfortable. Step out of your comfort zone. Stretch yourself for his work, his kingdom. You know, working with kids can kind of be like driving a car for the first time. You're sitting there behind the steering wheel. You know where, you know, your shifter is. You know where the gas pedal is and the brake pedal. Your hands are at 10 and 2, unless you're me and you drive like this. And you're just nervous. You're uncomfortable. Even though you've seen your parents do this for years, and they make it look so easy. Now that it's your responsibility, the responsibility is on you. All you have to do is be a little uncomfortable initially. And then with time and practice, it becomes natural. Working with our kids, showing them God's love, can feel a little uncomfortable at first. But over time, investing in them with the time you have left, it becomes natural. Sometimes we need to step out of that comfort box. We all get nice and comfortable in it. But in order to be stretched, to be used by God, we need to step out of that box. Now, I am going to say a word that may cause a little uneasiness. Blood pressures may rise, they may fall. But I know I have some amazing nurses here in my audience so that if anything does happen, like it did last year, we have people ready to go. So are you ready? The word is change. Ah! Change! Oh, I know it's such a scary, scary word. But changing things up, becoming comfortable with being uncomfortable, it can provide excellence. For an example, our SEC Kids 11 o'clock service has undergone some major changes. It's not your typical Sunday school setup where the kids come in, learn a Bible story, recite a verse, and leave. No, we have brought a change to our 11 o'clock service. Our kids first come together and praise and worship together. They're challenged with a Bible story, then break off into small groups where they do activities and applications to drive that story home. And we're also focusing on building relationships with our leaders and fellow kids. Because this is family here. It's more than just a Bible lesson, which is also obviously the primary point of coming to church. But we're family, and we need to build and encourage those relationships. Now, on a side note, a surprise for our kids coming in a couple of weeks in the round room has to do with lighting and sound. So make sure you come back in a couple of weeks for another new change. Really excited about that. Now, when we first did this change, this new setup, we had a little rough beginning. We had to change our mindset. There were a lot of little things that were different than what we were used to. But we persevered. We invested. And the kids have just flourished, and they're excited about Sunday mornings. They participate and they sing their hearts out. I mean, you saw that today here on stage. Wasn't that awesome? Now, up here, they were a little nervous, but when they're in the round room, everyone is jumping, everyone is singing the words, everyone is dancing, and man, that alone is just uplifting for me. It gives me a joy to see them praising God. And it gets me so excited, I could do like cartwheels on the stage right now. But I'm not gonna do that because I don't think Randy would approve. So, and that wouldn't be a very good example. But it just makes me so pumped. So let's get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Number two, let's expect difficulties. I hate difficulties, but God does not promise us that the road is going to be easy. It reminds me of that song. It's an old one. It's by Lynn Anderson, and she's like, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. that's why I don't sing praise and worship on Sundays up here, but that's the song that comes to mind is, you know, God doesn't promise it's going to be easy. If it wasn't, we'd all be doing it, right? And we'd have the most perfect church in the world, but I mean, we do, but... there are going to be hiccups along the way, and that's it's how we handle them that make us or break us. So let's look at the life of Abraham again. In Genesis 12:10, it says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. So here, Abraham, he left his family, he gave up everything that was probably perfect, and he trusted God, and now he's in a famine. And not just say, oh, my grass is just a little burnt outside. It hasn't rained for a couple days. No, the Bible said it's severe. So I looked at the word famine in the dictionary to help visualize what it means. And it says extreme and general scarcity of food. Now, working with kids, you have to use your imagination a lot. So, imagine with me, not just burnt grass, like we've had outside, but it's so bad that there isn't grass left to be burned. Trees are just withering up, branches breaking off, leaves falling off, creeks and rivers are drying up. How are you supposed to provide for your family, for your livestock, your servants, your help? I wouldn't want that type of responsibility on me. At that point, I'd be like, peace out, God, I'm going back to my family. Yeah. Abraham didn't. Abraham was investing, and he was persevering because he knew there was a greater plan for him at the end. Now, during this famine, he did not make the greatest decisions, but he still persevered. The bigger the dream we have, the bigger the fight is going to be. When we're doing great things for God, Satan is not going to sit by idly. He's going to do everything he can to shut it down. He's going to put thoughts in your head like, you don't know enough about the Bible. You can't be a small group leader. Side note, this is one of our changes we have. We're not teachers. We're small group leaders. Or let's say you have chosen to volunteer. You are pumped. You are excited. You walk in the door, and you have a class of candy hide sugar boys that are bouncing off the wall, and you were like, what did I get myself into? You know what? Obedience can lead to challenges, but how we handle them, how we let God handle them, will determine the outcome. I know there have been some Sundays here where I've had small group leaders sick, and it's always around flu season, and it's like everybody goes out at once. You've got small group leaders out. My awesome teen helpers get hit with the flu. My check-in computers keep freezing, and I'm like, oh, I'm struggling. Is it 1201 yet? Is it 1201? You know? But I know that this is just a hiccup. It's a difficulty that I can get over. You know, right now even, we're experiencing a problem in children's ministry, and it's the struggle of physical space. Now, it's actually a good problem that we're having. There was a Sunday, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, we had 44 kids in the children's ministry. That's awesome. I was so pumped about it. And I remember that Sunday, I went into the orange room, and Miss Josie was teaching that day, and she had a large group of kids, so big, she had to have two round tables set up. And I remember, despite as many kids as she had, she still persevered, and she invested in every single child that walked through her door that day. She gave them the application activity. She built relationships with them. And I was so encouraged by her perseverance. I was like, yes, I have awesome volunteers. So, you know, guys, this is a good problem to have. There's no immediate fix, but I have one really good solution to put a bug in your ear. It would be our new, huge, big church. Yes. Now, remember, Dream Chaser right here. Okay? I'm envisioning, remember, imagine with me, the children's ministry wing at the new SEC church with classrooms for each age group, right? And then a huge gymnasium for Awana on Wednesday nights and for our awesome praise and worship time on Sunday mornings. And then this is the biggest dream of all. This is a lot of money, so I love you all very much. I would love to have a playscape area so that our kids can be somewhere safe and our parents can fellowship, right? Because it's so important. That's what we're here for, to be a big church family. And safety is so important. And, oh, it'd just be so cool. So Dream Chaser, big challenges ahead, I know. But that's a whole different sermon and conversation that I'll leave up to Randy to tell you. But, you know, I'm excited about it. But I know that God has my back. And I know every Sunday, no matter the hiccups, that every boy and every girl that has sat in our classrooms has had the opportunity to hear about our powerful God. We need to know that working in ministry, to expect difficulties. Number three, courage and fear are contagious. We all have plans for our lives, but so does everybody else. We have plans for today. Maybe you're staying afterwards in the round room to meet and greet with our staff. Maybe you're going out to lunch. You've got plans for the future. Maybe you're planning vacations already for the school year. I can think back to some major decisions I've had to make in my life. College, marriage, starting a family, and everyone seemed to have a plan or an opinion for me. Now, out of respect, I would listen to what others had to say, but ultimately it came down to my decision. Well, God's decision. See, when it comes to decision-making, we need to ask ourselves, whose voice are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to God's voice, or are we going to listen to others? I don't think it's wrong to get other people's opinion, because God places knowledgeable people in our lives for a reason. But choosing to listen to God's voice can give you great courage, which can be contagious. I think of Abraham and the courage he needed to face this king with a super long name that I really don't know how to pronounce in order to save his nephew Lot, who was taken captive. Now, Abraham rounded up all of his servants, he rallied with them, and they attacked in the middle of the night. He really must have displayed some phenomenal courage, because not only did Abraham come back with Lot, but he actually came back with all of the goods from Sodom and Gomorrah that this king had took along with Lot. I mean, wow! I probably could have gone with Abraham at that point, you know? Taking a step towards something different, something you can invest in, and you can encourage others to follow. It can give them the courage to take that first step. You know, I think about people who go whitewater rafting and bungee jumping. Usually someone will have to come up with the idea, and through their excitement and courage, it spreads. And they get a group of people to do it. I mean, have you ever seen anyone do these activities completely alone? Definitely not. but I think it happens, or I know it happens, because someone took that step toward courage. You know, there is one thing in my life that I really, 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 really want to do. And it's not for the faint of heart. In order to do this, you have to have courage. I want to tornado chase. I already see my husband's face. I know you probably think it's crazy. Why would you drive into this big wedge tornado with debris flying everywhere? Because it's exciting, and I really, really, really want to do it. It's my lifelong dream. Now, Anthony, my husband, wants nothing to do with this dream of mine. My courage is not working on him. But I know that there are other ladies here at church who would totally do this with me. I know Miss Lana McIntosh would totally drive into the storm with me. And Amy Weaver, even though she's not here, we totally would hop in a van and go tornado chasing. Again, it's crazy, I know. But you know what? It's kind of like when God calls us to do something crazy, like working with kids. We need to listen to that call, no matter how crazy we may think it may be. For an example, today, I was petrified to come up here on stage. I know most of you, but it scares me to come and talk in front of adults. Kids, put hundreds in front of me, thousands. I can do kids all day long. But adults, it's like a whole new level, you know? And it's not like God called me and said, hey, Jody, you need to be on stage next Sunday and you're gonna talk about investing. No, that's not how it worked. God called me to be the children's ministry leader here. And this is part of my responsibility, which I love, because I love talking about the exciting things we've got going on in Children's Church. But my hope is that by being up here, doing something that for me takes a lot of courage, will help you be courageous and take a step toward investing in the lives of our kids. Number four, acting on belief instead of doubt. You know, we all have belief and unbelief in our lives. Not that it's a bad or a good thing, but we do. We have things we believe in, things we don't believe in. So did Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, now this is my emphasis added, but Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my house will be my heir. Okay, as I read this verse, I was like, Abraham, do you know who you're talking to? This is the Almighty God who created you, me, out of the dust of the ground. So that means he could just off you just like that. I don't know how God just sat there as Abraham talked to him like this, but he's God and he's awesome and he's able to do that. But as I read this verse, I'm like, man, Abraham, he's missing the point here. It's not about what God can give Abram. That's not it at all. It should be that we, or Abram, want God and want what he wants, not what he can give us. It's at this point where Abraham is doubting God. He's acting on doubt versus belief. He and Sarah, he's probably standing there going, Sarah and I are both old. We're childless, and a baby, this ain't gonna happen. No, there's nothing that we're just too old for this to happen. Like, God, what are you thinking? But how many times do we do this? How many times do we go, you know what, God, you're not giving me what I want, so I'm just gonna do my own thing? Or, God, you know, you promised me, you know, that you were going to give me 20 volunteers today, but it didn't happen, so I'm gonna do it myself. How many times do we depend on or think about what God's going to give us versus saying, God, what do you want? So my question is to you, do we really want God or do we want what God's going to give us? Let's look back at Abraham real quick, because again, like I said, he's missing the point of what God can do. So God takes Abraham outside and he says, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And this is when it clicks for Abraham. Again, let's use our imagination to recreate this scene. I'm sure Abraham is out in the middle of nowhere, right? As a kid, you always think that in the Bible, everybody lives in the desert. So imagine that you are outside your tent and God says, look up. And you're looking up and you see the stars. And Abraham's standing there going, I can't count these. But wait, God can. God can count these stars. God can do amazing things. This will be my lineage if I follow through, if I invest and I persevere. And you know what, folks? That's exactly what Abraham did. Abraham invested. He persevered. Was the road hard? Yes. But I look at these stars we have on stage, and I think about God's awesome promise to Abraham. If we as a church invest in our kids, if we persevere for them, this could be our lineage. This could be God's kingdom. All of these stars that you see represent the kids of SCC. This could be our future, folks. It's our responsibility as believers to invest in the lives of our church, of our congregation. If we can invest in the kids and persevere for them, that will be us. That's the promise God gives us, that our church will continue to grow, that ultimately God's kingdom, that's the number one thing. His kingdom is going to grow. But it's up to us. All you have to do is say yes. Say yes to babies and provide the care and love that they need. Be that person greeting that first-time parent at the door and provide them trust in knowing that you are going to take care of their child. Give them love. Give them nurturing. Hear and see those first smiles, those first coos. Be that person and say yes. Say yes to our toddlers and show God's love in little ways. Greet them at the door with the same amount of energy that they do, because they have a lot of energy and they are excited to be here. Be excited to tell them about God's love and that Jesus loved them. And say yes to answering their 500,000 why questions. You know, why did God make Adam and Eve? Why did Eve eat the apple? We've been talking about creation this summer. Why did God make whales? I don't like whales. Say yes to those precious toddlers who are searching for God. Say yes to elementary kids and build relationships that can last a lifetime. Say yes to Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights and build relationships with them so that they know they can have someone to talk to in a time of need. Because again, we are a church family. It's not just coming in for 1 hour and learning about God's word. Now, that is the most important part, don't get me wrong. But it's building relationships so that as they go out into the world, they'll be like, oh, what did Miss Jen say to do when someone is talking bad about God? What did Mr. Scott say to do when I need to defend my faith? What did Miss Megan say last Sunday when I need to tell my friends about Jesus? How do I do that? Say yes to our elementary kids and build relationships that are going to last a lifetime. When you say yes to the next generation, you are investing in the lives of our church. Monday is coming, folks. How are we as a church better preparing our kids for it? I'm going to invite all of the kids back on stage for our last song and offering. Today after the service, I invite you to the back of the auditorium, where our Say Yes display is set up. We have many opportunities for you to invest in the lives of our SEC kids. From small group leaders, to assistants, to techie stuff, to praise and worship, and so much more. Let's get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Let's know to expect difficulties. Let's remember that courage and fear are contagious. And lastly, let's remember to act on belief instead of doubt. How are you going to invest in the life you have left? Before we take our offering, I'm going to have Eli lead us in prayer. Amen. We're going to sing one last song. You're welcome to stand with us if you'd like and sing the words as they'll be on the screen. If not, just take in the moment as our kids praise and worship our awesome God.